Hello, I'm Eamon.
I'm Conrad.
And we are...
Nigger City Film Club!
Conrad, we're back with a single film to talk about, one that we're quite excited about. How's things in sunny LA at the moment?
I think every time we talk, Eamon, it ends up being overcast in LA. A little bit of England here in normally sunny California. Maybe it's just in the morning, I guess, and it'll burn off in as the day goes by. But yeah, otherwise, doing great. Another big day, another exciting time here in the film club.
We got films. We got so many films to talk about in the coming months, but I'll more of that later. Let's get straight to our first one, which is our only one with
film one, Superman.
Da 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 da. Da.
Man, love it.
Superman, written and directed by James Gunn, of course, starring David Corin Sweat, Rachel Brosnahan, Nicholas Holt, and many, many more. Obviously, we've done the John Williams music already, so...
grabs my heart, Eamon. I love it. You know, they do
it
like
does lift our hearts. Yeah,
even in the the trailer when they just had that the single electric guitar version of it.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Means a lot to me. You know, I think it to a lot of people, honestly.
So it was fair to say that we were both very excited to go and see this film in our own separate ways in either side of the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. Overall, first impressions and thoughts, Conrad, what did you make of James Gunn's Superman?
Ooh, I loved it. I thought it was really good. I was fist pumping. It's like, yeah, all right. You know, might have embarrassed myself a little bit, but I had a great time at Superman. I really liked it. Well, how about yourself, Eamon?
Oh, I just loved it. Yeah, such a great time. Very tempted to go back and see it again, actually. Obviously, we know, we'll try not to do too much in the way of spoilers, but I think everybody knows that it doesn't present a sort of origin story. This is a world where metahumans exist and Superman has been around for 3 years. And we're told that right up front. I don't think that's a big spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a series of threes in the start. I'm most interested in 3 centuries ago when the first metahuman showed up. I want to meet that 1725 superhero. I want to know what that guy's deal is, you know?
When did Vandal Savage? Isn't he the immortal DC?
Oh, that might be it. Yeah. Anyway, could be anything. Yeah. We're doing it.
So we've got a world that's known Superman, although he's having a hard time after his first 3 years in public. Obviously, it's a film that, or at least Superman, depends a little bit on performances. Mm-hmm. We have key performances up front, as I say, from David Corin Sweat and Rachel Brosnahan as Lois Lane. What did you make of them?
Well, I thought they were really good. I don't have a lot of negative to say about this movie. I'll give it to you up front. But I really liked their performances. I thought Corin Sweat, especially, you know, as Superman, really gives you a broad range of emotions and feelings sort of throughout the film and stuff like that. You see him really happy. You see him incredibly angry and sad and all this stuff. And Brosnan, I think, does a good job of as Lois Lane of sort of providing a counter to sort of some of Superman's like optimism and surety and stuff like that. I think they have a pretty like decently long, just like dialogue scene. Sort of, you know, they sort of talk about, it's like, you know, 10, you know, it's like, you know, 10 minutes of this like 2-hour movie is sort of just a back and forth conversation that they have, basically, that gets pretty heated. And I think is a really interesting, like, you know, investigation of those two characters and establishing sort of both not just their relationship, but like Superman's relationship in the world and stuff like that, that I think is a really interesting character moment for the two of them, for sure.
They do the big interview scene, as you say, and it soon becomes quite clear why Lois Lane is the most respected journalist.
Yeah.
Because she's very good at it, isn't she?
Yeah, she asks follow-up questions and does all this other, you know, these things that you kind of want reporters to do and stuff like that, to the point, yeah, and has, you know, even in what seems like sort of, starts out as kind of a fun, like couples thing they're doing, sort of becomes very real very quickly and stuff. I think it was really interesting.
And this version of Superman is not completely all-powerful. He can't. This isn't a planet-moving Superman. He has limitations, both in his power set, but also, I think, in his limitations as a person. He's, you know, he is a Superman who quite openly has some struggles, which I thought was a really nice way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's definitely finds him in an era where, like an era as Superman, I guess, where he's done it enough that he's confident that when he runs into problems, but, you know, when he runs into problems, it's not like, how can this be? It's like, oh, like, I've got to try harder then, I guess, or something like that. You know, it's something I always love. I really love them starting sort of in the middle of things, I guess, or sort of like partway into the story. I'm tired of, I feel like I've said this for like, over for like 15 years now, but I'm tired of origin stories in superhero things, like especially for Superman, who's basically Western civilization artifact number one, basically. As I read a Harlan Ellison quote that was like, you know, Superman's the best because he's joined like Sherlock Holmes and Robin Hood in terms of like characters where you just like, if you mention them, the average person on the street has at least a vague idea of who they are and what their deal is, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't need the Kent finding a baby in the cornfield or him be a kid learning how to use his powers or something. You can just toss him in there. It's Superman. People know what it is, you know?
Yeah. I will mention Pruitt, Taylor Vince, and Never Hal as the Kents. And there is a moment, obviously, when Clark Kent has to go back home to them in order to do some recovery time. And I read some negative comments about the Kents being such a sort of schlubby, sort of ordinary people. But I loved that.
Yeah, come on. I don't know how that could be you want like urbane fancy Kents? No, man, they got to be like kind of schlubby, kind of lame, because that's what makes them so great, you know?
Yeah.
Makes them the soil that Clark Kent grows out of and stuff like that. Yeah. I loved the, listen, long-term film clubbers will know Conrad's appreciation of superheroes and their dads, basically. I feel like it's the one thing I took away from the Blue Beetle movie, for instance. But Superman and Pa Kent have a scene that I thought was really great in this movie. And it was really like, oh, man, like, I got to call my dad kind of situation afterwards.
Yeah. They have a lovely scene, and it leads to a great payoff at the end of the movie, back in the Fortress of Solitude, which was also wonderful as well. Yeah. Big battles, obviously. We want to see Superman in action against foes that, you know, cause him a problem. Now, Conrad, I'm going to mention just a problem I have. As you know, I was concerned in that famous film, Morbius, about the vampire mouse, superpowered vampire mouse that's somewhere in New York City, still roaming. Now, in Superman, this film, there's a giant fire-breathing Godzilla-like monster lying in the sort of Central Park of Metropolis. Who cleans that up?
Oh, you know, I've got to assume, like, especially because of the frequency of giant monster attacks within Metropolis. Like, we see one like it's on the posters of Superman, actually, that post that one of Superman like sitting in a chair, as in the window behind him, there's another giant monster sort of rampaging through the city, and we see the Justice Gang fighting it and stuff. I feel like there's a frequency of giant monster attacks in Metropolis that surely several, like, in Marvel it's called damage control, I know, but several, like, just raw industries must have built around, like, sort of, you know, superhero fight cleanup, basically, you know. you gotta call in the hazmat boys to clean up any number of giant monster carcasses while the presumably trades are doing great in Metropolis, just because you need like billions of bricklayers and pipe fitters just to rebuild skyscrapers like fairly regularly and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yes. As you say, it's damage control in Marvel Universe. If anybody knows what the cleanup crew in the DC Universe is called, let me know.
I'll admit that like DC is not this one I know that much about. So I'm very much sort of like grasping around for like half remembered DC things in a lot of cases.
You mentioned the Justice Gang. So let's just say that we get to see plenty of superheroes in this movie. What did you make of the Justice Gang and some of the other characters who appear and will probably be in later Justice Gang incarnations?
I thought they were I really liked everybody, honestly. That Nathan Fillion was great as Guy Gardner. I saw people like being like, why does he have that haircut? And I'm like, I don't know much about DC, but I know that haircut is an essential piece of Guy Gardner. Like I've seen that bowl cut in action over the years. Like you can't have Guy Gardner without that. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know, we don't see a ton of her, but Isabella Merced as a Hawk Girl, I thought was really neat. Like she gets a couple like really neat like fight scenes and stuff like that, of just like screaming through hallways and macing dudes, like hitting them with a mace, which is pretty nice for sure. But I'd say honestly, like I guess maybe like the number four star of the show, I guess, after Superman, Lois, and Lex Luthor, is Eddie Kathegi? Is that what it is? As Mr. Terrific, who I thought gives like a breakout. Like I had never, honestly, you know, admitting again, I had never really heard of Mr. Terrific before the run up to this movie. It wasn't a character I was really familiar with. And now I'm like looking, and I'm told on eBay also many people are being like, well, now I got to read a bunch of Mr. Terrific comics because he was so good in this as just this, like, actually a counterpoint to Luthor, but as this kind of exasperated super genius in a world full of idiots, basically.
Yeah, he was brilliant. You know, a big breakout performance, both for Mr. Terrific and for Eddie Kathegi playing him. So, yeah, great stuff. You know, bringing a comic book character to the screen and just doing a great job of it. He was literally terrific.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. It was very like I just didn't know the character and stuff. It's so you know, obviously I'm ready to enjoy things, but to have him be there and just be is so fun, so interesting, and you know, important to the movie, honestly, I thought was really great.
So, Conrad, I'm going to ask you about the sort of themes of hope and optimism in this movie, but before we do, I've got to mention, you know, I'm going to mention one other character brought to life by a canine actor and then a lot of CGI. There is another standout character in this film for me. Crypto the Superdog. What did you make of the Superhound himself?
I guess Mr. Terrific might actually be five because Crypto has to be one of the main characters of the film for sure. Crypto is a lot of fun. Yeah. When he's imperiled, I was like, no, like do not. It was honestly like one of the two things that made me kind of be like, ooh, like I like Lex Luthor can go to hell, basically.
Yeah. Like, don't threaten the dog.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Crypto was really fun. I really thought it was funny that he was like not really that good of a dog as terms of like as dogs go. It was one of the more realistic like dog performances, actually, in terms of like sometimes dogs are just kind of jerks. You know, but they're cute enough to carry the day and stuff. And then sort of the final revelations about Crypto's origins definitely had me like, ah, yes, it all comes together. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, we've probably seen the line in the trailer where Lois says, "You've got a dog." And so we know now from the film that Superman's answer is, "Well, he's not really my dog, and he's not that very, not that good a dog."
Yeah. He knows it.
Yeah. I just loved Krypto. Whenever Krypto was on screen, it was just wonderful. This sort of like superpowered dog who just behaves like an ordinary dog.
Yeah, it's this like, yes, extremely superpowered, just like chaos agent, basically. Yeah. And I think in the end, the lesson is sort of like, yeah, he's more sort of something you just have to kind of point towards a problem. And like, he'll sort of like buzzsaw into it. And that's sort of, that's all you can ask him to do, basically.
Absolutely loved Krypto. Possibly my favorite thing about this whole movie. Although I suppose it does bring me to my big question about hope. This is a bright, cheerful, optimistic movie after some of the dark and grittiness of the Zack Snyder verse, as it were. What did you make of the sort of general themes of the film itself?
I mean, I really liked it. It came at a good time for me, actually. I've been sort of feeling down in the last couple, like before I saw it and stuff. You know, I thought it was exactly what I wanted from a superhero movie, or from a Superman movie specifically, I guess. Just this, and it's funny because I feel like it's something that's changed as I've grown up a little bit, I guess. I think I remember seeing Man of Steel, the first Snyder movie, and kind of talking about how like, oh, this is like a brand new Superman, so he's not at the point where he's like saving everybody and stuff like that. You know, you're kind of, you know, you hypothetical person are kind of lame for wanting him to do that and stuff. But I see this movie and you do have Superman pausing to, you know, save a random citizen to pick up a squirrel that's going to get hit by something in the course of a monster fight, that kind of thing. And I just find that to be very like inspiring and fun, honestly, you know, and sort of some of the stuff, like, I feel like it was big in Grant Morrison's and Frank Quitely's like All-Star Superman, the sort of Superman wants the best for us, that kind of stuff, you know, I thought was really nice, I guess. And something that made me sort of, you know, smile while watching the movie and stuff. And I think, you know, the idea of Superman being inspiring and Superman being inspired by, you know, by people, I think is such a nice message, and one that is a really nice one to have, I think, in this day and age, I guess.
Yeah, I just thought it was brilliant. And I thought David Corenswet, or, you know, Clark Kent's speech that he sort of gives towards the end of the film, he gets a moment where he just says, you know, about he gets up every morning and he makes mistakes, but he tries and he keeps on trying. And you just think, yeah, that's Superman. He keeps on trying. He keeps on trying to be the best version, and for us to be the best versions as well. Yeah, absolutely loved it. It was, the whole thing is colorful and comic book like and optimistic, and a film about, strange enough, about kindness. And how that might be the real new punk rock, as this the film says.
Yeah, I could have, you know, could have done with like, yeah, Lois like wrote like visibly rolling her eyes a little bit more with that, because it is, you know, it is sort of like, it's corny, but that's sort of what you want from, I guess, Superman as well. Like, it's sort of, yeah, being okay with some corniness, I think is a key part of that as well.
So this episode will come out in a fortnight's time, Conrad, when it should still be in cinemas, hopefully. So go and see it, I think is what we're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go and see Superman by James Gunn. It's delightful. Anything else you wanted to add about this movie? Obviously, as I say, we're delighted with the moments of John Williams' music when it comes in, even the sort of callback to the title sequence from the Christopher Reeve movie with the sort of like... The graphic of Superman itself, title flying through the air, is wonderful. Absolutely. Anything else you need to mention, Conrad?
I had mentioned just Nicholas Holt, I guess, as Lex Luthor also, who just did a really great job of making this character, you know, character who I think in some cases you can kind of empathize with or like understand where he's coming from, but like also, you know, both within the script and with his, in his performance, also doing things to make him so contemptible that you sort of end up rooting for Superman and stuff like that. You know, like I think they did a good job of giving in movie responses to people saying Lex Luthor is right. Where it's like, nah, man, like Lex Luthor can go to hell, but like, no excuses here, you know?
No excuses for him. No apologies for him. I'm going to say, yeah, Clark Kent is right.
Yeah, no sympathy for Lex Luthor. But like, you know, just whole, I think really, as much as Superman is about like hope, like Lex Luthor being so heavily in like providing this counterpoint of like hate and envy and stuff is really great, and a really great performance from him, which is to be expected. I feel like Nicholas Holt actually is a really good actor, shows up in a ton of these sort of genre movies and sort of who could usually be counted on for good performances for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's very good as being an absolutely contemptible bad guy. Yes. So yeah, look up in the sky is Superman, and if you can't see it in the movies, hopefully coming to streaming not too long. Well worth your time and money, I think. To
go absolutely. To see. Yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely worth going to see in the theater. I think as well. I saw it in IMAX. It was really great for sure.
Ah, oh, lovely. And when this movie comes out, when this episode comes out in 2 weeks' time, we'll be at the movies again, Conrad, because we'll both be going to see a movie about a certain bunch of 1960s superheroes of a family type.
That's right, yeah. Fantastic Four. I'm excited for that one as well, a ton. You know, the ubiquitous Pedro Pascal and just some interesting sci-fi stylings and stuff. I really want that movie to be really good as well, honestly. Like having the two of them come out really close together, I think is really cool. And hopeful success for all these superheroes, you know, for sure.
We're looking up in the sky again for the coming of Galactus, but hopefully also for that four signal flying in the sky, presumably picked out in flames by the Human Torch or something like that.
I think I've definitely seen a trailer where he does the number four out of flames and stuff. And I think both of these movies, at least, you know, Fantastic Four from the trailers and stuff, are sort of embracing a lot of the comic book stuff, which I think is definitely a good thing for, you know, going forward with these kinds of movies.
Fantastic stuff. Looking forward to it. The film club will return. And I'm going to trail things slightly as well, give a hint of film clubs to come maybe next year, because Conrad and I both do podcasts. We do a bit of advanced planning. There might be a face-to-face film club next year. Who knows?
Very exciting. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Got to figure something out for sure.
Yeah. Conrad and I might be in the same room once again sometime in 2026.
So exciting.
Looking forward to it. Great. Until then, of course, you can find us on the internet, all of our episodes and all of our content at megacitybookclub.com. And of course,
at spacespinner2000.com. We've actually, in keeping in a movie line, as this has come out, we've just done our coverage of the 1995 Judge Dredd film. And we're steaming deep into 1995 and the fallout of that film within 2000 AD and Big Meg 1, which is, you know, it's a rough time, you know, interesting times, basically.
Yeah, some sort of coincidental timing, because you and I did the Carlos Esquerra and Andy Helfer adaptation of the 95 movie on the book club. Of course, you're covering it, as you say, on Space Spinner 2000. We've also just done the Lawman of the Future comic, which span out of the movie when everybody had such high hopes. didn't quite work out, but find out more about that on Space Spinner 2000, the podcast, yeah, where you're running through 1995.
We're powering through. Yeah, we should be done, be finished with it in – finish with 95 in the fall, get into 96. Yeah, after that, I'm hoping to get to Prague 1000 by Christmas, which should be an exciting time.
Wonderful stuff. Great. So the Film Club will return with Fantastic Four. We have got more films lined up to see as well and talk about. But until then, I'm Eamon.
I'm Conrad.
And we have been...
Mega City Film Club! Do 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 do